Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, Football Sunday. And boy, these nips right now, they could cut sheetrock because we are kicking off.
Here we go.
NFL Week 1, Sunday NFL Week 1 right now. Very anticlimactic kickoffs because of the new kickoff rule. I will say, there's something about all the dudes running to start the kickoff.
And here we go. Week one has begun.
Yeah,
and those guys
about
just hauling balls down the field.
Player safety and concussions.
Well, if it was about player safety, they probably just wouldn't play the game of football. But
probably.
We're playing football. We've got football on the TV, Red Zone. Hopefully you have football on your TV, but also us on your radio dial or Odyssey app. Or the YouTube stream, however you are listening.
Cowboys line's moving, by the way. I've seen it's already been taken half a point down on a lot of books from 2.5 to 2. I feel like that Dak contract making people bet Dally.
Well, I mean, the fact that Cleveland was a favorite, I was like somewhat surprised about
really?
That. But I mean, being a home favorite, but I could see Cowboys winning that for sure. I mean, but we shall see. I'm intrigued by that game because of the Myles Garrett aspect and seeing how either Tyler Guyton or Terrence Steele does against them on the left side or right side, depending on where Myles Garrett lines up. If he's got to go against the young rookie tackle, Tyler Guyton, I'm intrigued to see how the first-round pick for the Cowboys does against him. But I digress. This is college football we're talking about. I think I mentioned earlier about needing a cigarette or maybe taking up smoking. The Ducks might just make me do that. They might just make... Last night's game... / broadcast, just exhausting. I mean, yes, because of a 7 o'clock kickoff, but oh my God, just the ups and downs of that game. Thinking that at 27-20, after the Ducks scored on the punt return touchdown, they got it. They got that to take the lead. And then they go and get the ball back, and you're like, all right, let's step on their throats. Let's finish this off. And then Patrick Herbert fumbles the ball. And Boise State scores on the very next play on a 70-yard touchdown. Then the next drive, Dylan Gabriel gets the ball snapped at him when he's not expecting it, then fumbles it. And then a few plays later, Boise State scores and then takes the lead, followed by a kickoff return. Like, that game was just, it was drunk, high, crossfaded, all of it. And then the Peacock broadcast just did no favors
oh
at all.
Oh, my gosh.
My God. That was driving me up the wall.
Can you fill me in on that? Because I was on the radio, so I could only I saw it, but I didn't
kept
hear
getting
what was
like,
going on.
Almost like not blackouts, but it kept kind of screen kept going dark for a little.
The cameras
bit.
Were cutting
the cameras
out.
Cameras were messing up.
The,
like,
audio would get messed
like, everything
up.
About it
the
was,
cameras sometimes were just pointed in the wrong direction.
Oh,
they
I
have
did
to,
something
they'd
else.
They'd have to like
zoom
out and readjust.
I
it was
did
just,
catch. I think it was Sappington's first field goal, the chip shot, the 23-yarder. They had the wrong camera angles. Is that what you're talking about? Where they had to zoom in at the last second to that is pretty bush league,
dude. It was just an absolute mess. Like. The one good thing about the Peacock broadcast was that the cameras and the resolution, extremely nice. Like, I remember in years past, people complaining about ESPN having the games that look like they were filmed on potatoes and just being super pixelated and not good resolution and quality. So I will give them that, is that they're using really nice cameras on Peacock for the game. But with that being said... That game last night was just so damn exhausting. And usually, I will say this, usually Oregon loses those type of games. Like in years past, that's a game that Oregon is probably end up losing. And that is how it was starting to feel at one point, especially after the fumble when they went up 27-20. And then Boise State scored on the next play. Like, it was just such a roller coaster of emotions. And for the second straight week against a team from the state of Idaho, and I said this earlier in the show, but I hereby decree that we never play a team from the state of Idaho again. Whether it's the Vandals, whether it's Boise State, whether it's the Coeur d'Alene School for the Blind, whoever it is from Idaho, do not put them on the schedule going forward for the next forever. Don't do it. But two straight weeks of the Ducks, as Derek Carr and the Saints, they start off with a big touchdown.
My Saints.
Oh, my God.
Derek Carr, MVP.
And Derek Carr wins MVP.
It's coming.
But the Ducks, they eerily squeak by Boise State in a great game, back and forth. But my God, like I said, get me a pack of Marlboro immediately.
It was a great game. If you're not an Oregon Duck, like if you're not on the team. But if you are on the team, like, this game was tough and this game was not good because there were certain, you just couldn't execute. That offensive line is an issue. Like, I think that there's some real problems.
Well, I will say
for the Ducks on that offensive line, and it's not going
to
get easier.
Well, they did make some changes on the offensive line mid game yesterday, and it seemed to help a bit, but there was still just mistakes made by everybody on the team on the offensive side. And again, it got better, but that unit is going to be under a magnifying glass, under a microscope the entire year.
But I mean, the defense, who played well last week, but against, you know, lesser, or I guess an inferior opponent. I think most of us would consider them an inferior opponent.
And hey, Idaho got a big win against Wyoming
they
yesterday,
did.
Okay?
They did, because Wyoming is a juggernaut, right? And so, but Boise State's one of those teams that, again, Oregon's never beaten them. Like, I mean, they're just one of those thorn-in-the-side type of teams. We all remember the LeGarrette Blount punch. You know, back in, what was that, 2008?
2009.
Byron
Hout.
Yeah, so we all kind of, you know, remember that. And I think that was the last, I don't know, wasn't the last time they played, but that was the last memory that I have of really Boise State.
The Vegas Bowl 2017.
Yeah, we got, you know, beat so bad that, you know, we stolen them at the end of the game. Like, that's kind of how that went. And it looked like some Ducks players wanted to steal on some Boise State players yesterday, because Oregon just, whenever it seemed like they had an advantage, Boise State just punched back. And Austin Genty, what couldn't he do yesterday? He did everything. Every time he touched the rock, it was pretty much either to the house or close to it, or gave a big, your heart kind of skipped a beat a little bit when he got the ball. Like, they played a great game. And Oregon played a great game in certain regards, too. You know, Jordan James ran the ball pretty well. Obviously, Evan Stewart had a big game through the air. So it's like, there are certain things that went well for the team, but you're just looking, it's like third downs, not being able to convert. Like, that sucked. To hear the Autzen crowd boo was weird.
I mean,
that was a weird thing. Like, to hear them, like, get to the point
in September. Yeah.
And then here's my thing. The same thing we used to talk about. Remember Arroyo, the former offensive coordinator for the Ducks. It's the same thing that,
yeah, Marcus Arroyo.
We need to start, you know, when you have a Heisman candidate and Dillon Gabriel there, take some shots. Like, and then you got these receivers that are just so incredibly fast. Like, I'm glad they took some shots at the end of the game. Like, Dillon Gabriel was 18 for 21. And those three that he missed on, those three deep balls, like,
towards the end,
you get those, then, you know, he probably has damn near, you know, a perfect game, you know, passing the ball. But I just feel like you need to take some chances. Like, and I feel like you're playing very, very conservative, and you don't have to. I think you got the dogs on your side to really make things happen. And I feel like they're just playing very, very safe and conservative. And I don't know how well that's going to work in this Big Ten.
Well, there was a lot of, like, WTF moments yesterday as well. The one drive that they had where I believe it was after they went up 27-20, maybe it was 20-20 at that point, I don't remember, but basically they were in their own territory, they got a holding penalty, and it backed them up to 1st and 20, and then they just handed the ball off up the middle just three times in a row, and it was very just like, that's it? Like, it felt very much like, we don't trust our offensive line to hold up to give Dylan Gabriel enough time to make a play. So we're just going to run the ball and play the field position battle and then kick the ball off. And then they had a drive later on where it was that hook and ladder play that they ran.
Yeah.
And then that was immediately followed up by the two overthrows by Dylan Gabriel. And it was just like, it just felt clunky. It felt not. And then what was the other play to convert the third and one where they had Terrence Ferguson go in motion and then like line up under the center? It's like, you guys, what? Stop it.
And then just catch like a little flat. Like, I was like, man, what's happening now?
It's very confused. It just felt very, like I said, clunky and just like, dude, what the hell are we doing? What is going
on? There was a lot
that went on. Why? Why to all of this?
There was so much that went on in that play. It was like, what's happening?
I think the commentators even said, they're like, that was a lot of work for just 2 yards there. I agree.
I mean, it worked, but was that the plan?
I guess.
Yeah. It was just, there's so much to clean up with this offense. Defense, I thought, played pretty well. It was just they put him in bad positions a couple of times. And then Ashton Gentry, he is an absolute beast. Like, that dude already has 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks of football. And, like, he has multiple 70-yard touchdown runs already on the season. So he was going to get his. Last week he had a huge game. So I just knew that he was going to be a threat for this Boise State team. But defense, I thought, played pretty well and really played well when they needed to, especially. They come up with some big stops, but, man, this offense is just not putting them in the best positions. And this offensive line, like I said, it is going to be under scrutiny for the entire year.
And so last week when we spoke, you know, and we were talking about the season and everything, and I was saying, man, Oregon State, you think it's going to be sweet and they're just going to go into Corvallis and just run over them. 2 weeks now, we've seen the Ducks go against teams that should be on paper clearly better than, and it's been a struggle. You mean to tell me that Oregon State don't have no chance? Oregon State won't beat Colorado State yesterday, or excuse me, San Jose State yesterday, 21-0. You know, no problem. Or San Diego State. Who they play? Yeah, San Diego State. 21-0. Not a problem. You don't think they can handle their own against this Ducks team, this current iteration of this Ducks team? You don't think Oregon State's going to be able to hang with them?
Nah.
Man, that game scares me now.
It wasn't just the offense, too, that had issues. The defense was obviously a lot better, but that roughing the passer penalty by Jordan Birch kind of set them up for a touchdown. And then there was also, I think in the second or third quarter, a pass that kind of went right through Cameron Camper's hands or kind of off his fingertips that was another touchdown for Boise State. And then on the other side, if Oregon hadn't scored those two special teams touchdowns, the punt return by Tez Johnson and then the 100-yard kickoff return for Tutty by Noah Whittington that actually is credited to Jaden Lamar because he picked it up in the end zone after Noah let it go. I mean, that if it weren't for that, Oregon would not have won the game. And I made the point last night on the postgame show that it was just a very rare way for any team to win a game. And if that happens again, Oregon is not going to win, period.
Or dropping the ball at the goal line. Like, mind you, if they say that that's not a touchdown for whatever reason during the return.
Well, I mean, regardless of if he dropped it or not, a Oregon player picked it up like immediately.
Yeah.
After. Yeah, and so it was credited to him. If nobody picked it up, I think it's left at like that spot, like the half yard line or the yard line, I think.
And I think it's those like little mental mistakes that, you know, Oregon was good for making throughout the game. The holding penalties, whenever those run plays would happen, it's like, oh, that's a huge chunk right there. And then, no, it's got to come back because holding. So I think there's just some things that need to be worked out. And with it being a rivalry game and with Oregon State losing that last rivalry game, man, I don't love the Ducks, you know, chances of just going squeaking through the season without two losses in it.
Yeah, a lot needs to be improved by the time they get to conference play. Like, this team ain't beating Ohio State the way that they played last couple of games. They've got Oregon State, then they'll get a bye, then they'll take on UCLA, and then they'll take on Michigan State, which Michigan State, they got their first conference win. Jonathan Smith getting his first conference win in the Big Ten as head coach of Michigan State, beating Maryland yesterday. It's just a lot to be desired with this Oregon Ducks team, especially on the offensive side. They got a lot to work out. And we will see what happens next week in Corvallis. And that is where we head next, is to the team just a few minutes north of Eugene, Oregon State Beavers, 2-0. We get to that next year Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with this. Oh, no. No Sports Center update. We'll do that in a little bit. We'll do the Beavers first. Coming up next, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, week one. NFL Sunday is officially underway. Quick look at the scoreboard. Cardinals already up 7-0 on the Bills. Giants kick a field goal. They're up 3-0. Saints have hit double digits. They're up 10-0 after Bryce Young threw an interception. I did not see what exactly happened, but first pass attempt of the season for Bryce Young is intercepted. So
shocking.
Things are going great there. And then what else we got there? Atlanta kicked a field goal, 3-0. Houston kicked a field goal, 3-0. And those are the only scores, points on the board so far.
Remember all the people spending hours explaining why Bryce Young was going to be a good NFL quarterback?
I mean, he is one pass of the season.
I think he's going to be okay. I think when you're in a situation like that,
he's too short.
It's tough. It's tough. So is Kyler Murray. He's making plays out there. Like,
yeah, he's one of like five to do it in history. Kyler's the exception to the rule, not
the
rule.
Hey, I'm saying I think those days of being like too short to play certain positions. Like, I don't know.
Dylan Gabriel proved that last night. His passes kept getting tipped by the defensive line of Boise State.
He was 18 for 21 on the night though. So it's even still like he hit every blade of grass out there except for a couple deep balls. So. You know, some short kings can get it done out there.
I don't know. I just feel like we have seen many times over quarterbacks being counted out. You know, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, or two of them that after two seasons, almost three seasons.
Baker Mayfield.
That they suck. Oh, hey, one of the Steelers players wearing a Guardian cap. That's the first time I've seen that.
I like it.
Oh, cool.
Man, good for him looking out for his health.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of hearing the dudes be like, oh, he looks stupid. You know what? You know what looks stupid? Not being able to function when you're 50. That looks pretty stupid.
He's a pansy. I don't know why he has that offensive lineman. He's nut tough. But I don't know. Like, we've seen it time and time again. Quarterbacks are claimed they suck after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And then when you know it, they don't suck. They actually are pretty good because they just need to learn the NFL game. Bryce Young, not a great start. One pick already. What is a great start, though, is the Oregon State Beaver season. How about that? 2-0,
awesome,
baby.
Awesome start.
Yeah.
Slap the tails. Build the dam, baby. Let's go. 21-0 victory over San Diego State. I believe first road shutout since like 1938 or something like that for Oregon State.
Didn't they win a championship sometime in the 30s?
Oregon State?
Yeah, didn't they? When was their national championship?
That's Oregon winning at like a basketball championship, I think, is what you're thinking of. The first ever NCAA Final Four champion were the Oregon Ducks, but I don't think in football either has won anything.
Yeah, no. I feel like that would definitely be common
knowledge.
Didn't
Crawford make like a documentary about that team?
No, they just beat really good teams.
I mean, maybe like Crawford, Oregon Agricultural College in like 1910 won something.
Crawford's documentary as Josh Allen fumbles and Cardinals recover. No, Crawford made a documentary about the Giant Killers, how the Beavers just went and beat a bunch of really good teams back in like the 60s or 70s or something like that, where they played a bunch of like top five teams and they just kept beating them.
Hell yeah.
Which is what Oregon State does, is they are giant killers. But San Diego State is not a giant. but they did work them 21-0 yesterday. San Diego State did not even have 200 total yards.
No, they struggled.
San Diego State, they've had some good years, but as far as this iteration of San Diego State, I don't think they're a very good team this year. I don't expect them to be very good. But the Beavers going down there and imposing their will on the defensive side. The offense, it took them a little bit to get going. I think it was 7-0, like halfway into the third quarter. So, you know, offense a little bit left to be desired there. We'll see how it develops throughout the season. Jam Griffin I'm spacing on the
Anthony
other
running back.
Thank you. They both go for about 65, 70 yards rushing.
89 and 71, respectively.
Thank you. Giovanni McCoy is coming into his own as the starting quarterback of the Oregon State Beavers. But good win for the Beavs, especially on the defensive side.
The Beavs are starting to put it together. You know, I think last year was a huge, huge stepping stone for them. And they're looking around and saying that they could be one of those teams to compete. I hope they stay independent. I'm pretty sure they'll get swooped up by some conference here, you know, within the coming years. But that 200-headed monster at running back, is a problem. And we've seen the Ducks in the past couple of weeks struggle with really stopping the run, you know, at this point. So Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson are off to a great start already. Both of them put up tutties yesterday. Jovani McCoy, like you mentioned, is starting to really kind of come into his own a little bit. Still a lot to learn, but I think you like what you've seen from him thus far. Not top tier opponents they played over the past couple of weeks, but they've got two quality wins in a row. And I think that's a great start if you're Oregon State. And now you go into, you finally got, this is the first time, and I'm not sure what scheduling used to be like, you know, rivalry week, if they always played at the end of the year, you know, historically, but this is one of the first times that you're going to get a healthy Ducks team, a healthy Beavs team playing each other, you know, before we even get to midseason. Nice weather.
Oh, well, like the first outside. Time ever.
Yeah, seriously, like every time we see Ducks Beavs, it's cold, it's wet, it's rainy, it's right before Thanksgiving or right around the Thanksgiving time and stuff like that. Like,
oh man, I was freezing my balls off at Autzen Stadium last year.
It's uncomfortable as a fan sometimes to go to those games because it's just so cold outside and so wet outside. Like, but now you get these guys, they get to play in potentially 75, 80 degree weather, you know, next Saturday. Like, that's huge, you know, for Oregon State, you know, as far as not having to play in any elements and stuff. So I don't know, man. I'm liking what I've seen from this Beavs team so far, and we've seen the Beavs be the Ducks' kryptonite. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but judging the way we've seen the Ducks play the last 2 weeks, it would not shock me if Oregon State punched him in the mouth.
Do you want to guess what the betting line opened at a couple weeks ago and what it is now for the Oregon State Civil War game, which is so
I'm probably going to say what Ducks,
what it started at and what it is now.
I was going to say Ducks minus, I'm going to say 10.
It was bad. I think it was like a minus like 28 or something like that. No, it was a crazy line from what I remember.
I was going to say like Ducks minus 10, no. You know, minus 12, something like that.
The Ducks were minus 19.5 over Boise State before last week. So
A couple weeks ago, the Ducks were a 20.5 point
20
favorite.
There you go.
Over Oregon State. The spread for the game next week is now at, I believe, 14.5.
Oh, yes.
That's
14 and
huge.
A half. Ducks cover, baby.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know about that. That seems like they won last game, first game of the season by 10. You win yesterday by 3.
I'm feeling like, I'm feeling a 45-14 game, something like
that's
that.
That's what you hope.
Ducks victory.
That's what you hope. But I think this Beavers team is fired up and ready to go. And the way that Ducks team walked off the field yesterday, some of them like, yeah, they don't look super, super confident.
Yeah, as far as the momentum, the optimism in each of these locker rooms, I would say that Oregon State definitely has the mojo right now after their first two games. I mean, Idaho State, you know, take it for what you will, but they took care of business against them. The game last night, San Diego State, as far as your defense goes, you have got to feel very optimistic about what you're seeing from that side of the ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, shutting down any FBS school to under 200 yards total is one thing, but San Diego State, you know, a somewhat better program, obviously not a blue blood, not a Power 5 team, but have had some good years in the past. Shutting them down like that, that's got to feel great for Trent Berry and this team. Yeah, next week, this matchup definitely got a lot more interesting over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Coming into the season, we didn't know what it was going to look like. Oregon State is definitely going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, you want to talk about motivation. Oregon State has all of the motivation in the world for this
one.
All of it. Oregon, they have motivation, too, just to show everybody in the country that we aren't who we've been the last couple of weeks. First time is an accident. Second time is a coincidence. Third time, you are who you are at this point. So if they're going to let Oregon State hang around, if this is as close as it was last night, then it's going to be trouble. And that place, that Corvallis, the Beavers Stadium, it's going to be absolutely rocking next week.
Yeah, it's a small stadium too, super super small. If you've never been to Reser, like, it's almost like a high school stadium in some regards, just based on the way it looks and stuff. But it can get pretty loud in there pretty fast. So hopefully it's a great game. But again, if I'm a Ducks fan, I'm not super, super confident going into it.
Yeah, I hope it's a great game too. But expect 45-14, baby. Lock it in.
Well, let's see it. Put that down. That's one of your. That's one of your. Who do you love? Yeah.
No. We're past that segment. It's over. It can't do it anymore. As Kirk Cousins throws an interception.
Call for Michael Penix.
Like, yes, here we go. That's just one.
Yeah, just to look at the scoreboard real quick before we take a break. But actually, let's not take away Jordan Schultz's responsibility. Let's have him do a SportsCenter update next and give you some updates on some NFL scores going down. Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy with a SportsCenter update. Quick update on NFL football. Anthony Richardson, my God, what a touchdown pass.
Jeez Louise, man.
Jump on the social medias and find that clip immediately. That dude.
Cannon.
Dear Lord, that was one of those huck it up and pray, and prayer was answered.
Good to see him balling out.
My God, I am I'm flummoxed right now.
A lot of expectation from that young man.
All right, let's take a look at the college football landscape because there were some other games that went down. I want to start off with this because I was insanely impressed by what I saw from the Texas Longhorns yesterday against Michigan. I don't know if it was one of those I asked at one point on Twitter. It was like, is Texas this good or is Michigan this bad? Yes.
It's a little bit of both.
The answer is yes, but Texas bullied Michigan. That offensive line for Texas is a problem. And Quinn Ewers, great game for him. Looks like Texas has a two-headed monster at running back. They got dudes all over skill positions out there. I mean, Texas right now... lock them in for a playoff spot because,
oh, for sure.
I mean, I don't know as far as SEC, I mean, and it's so weird saying that, you know, they could be a favorite to win the SEC. I mean, Georgia is still Georgia. We'll see. I mean, what Georgia did in week one against Clemson was impressive as well, but that's, give me Georgia, Texas in the SEC championship game. That is a insane matchup right there. I mean, that was just impressive as all hell. As Derek Carr throws another touchdown, Saints are up 17-0.
Screw you, Joe.
What are you talking about?
My fake MVP.
Scenario. It was my fake scenario that I came up with Derek Carr being MVP. All right,
but you said it. You were real kind of like condescending about it. Like you didn't really believe it.
Had faith in him.
Yeah,
look at you. Place the bet now, Joe. Place the bet now.
I was watching some of this game yesterday, and you know I expected it to be kind of a boxing match. You know, between two highly ranked teams, and Davis Warren was. I'm not going to say he was exposed. I don't think that's fair to say. He didn't have a great game.
No.
You know, threw a couple picks. He only had 200.
It might be
yards.
Orgy time in Michigan.
It potentially is, and that's going to be a lot of fun to say.
Yeah.
You know, every single play.
Get the buffet
Saturday.
Ready. It's time for orgy
it's
in
time
Michigan.
For the orgy.
A Michigan
yeah.
orgy.
Yeah. But when you look over at Texas, like, they were just able to do everything the right way. Quinn Ewers was amazing. And it might, you could even say it was probably like his statement game.
He's now the favorite to win the Heisman.
And rightfully so. And the best part is Texas going out into the middle of the field and planting their flag or trying to plant their flag.
I always love when they try to do that on a turf field.
Yeah, it's like, it's not going to work like that. But I get the sentiment that you're making. But I think that meant more than just to Michigan, but let the rest of the country know that, no, Texas is here. Texas is back. This isn't these aren't those same Longhorns from, post Vince Young.
Yeah, era. This isn't a cute, ironic Texas is back. It's like, no, they are back.
It looks like they're really ready to play. And so that was an impressive win by the Longhorns.
Yes. Two other games in the top five. Alabama, the score is not indicative of how that game went at all. 42-16 victory over South Florida. Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. They scored 14 in the last like 5 minutes, it seemed like. They were struggling against South Florida. That was a game that was in question for a little bit. So you want to talk about, top 10 teams that were struggling yesterday, Ducks against Boise State. I don't know where South Florida is as far as national landscape goes. I don't know if they're as good as Boise State. My guess is that they aren't. But Alabama struggled against South Florida in that one, and they ended up pulling away. But that was a top five team that had a hell of a time trying to get past the Bulls of South Florida.
They did, it. And again, the score was indicative. It was 14-6 at half, but Alabama just had a tough time moving the ball. You're so used to seeing this high power.
It was 14-13 in going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So it was just kind of it was a lot closer. Then all of a sudden, Alabama became. the Crimson Tide all of a sudden at the end of the game. And what do they say down there? Roll Tide. That's exactly what they did. They pretty much rolled over South Florida. But if you're South Florida, you feel good about that game because you know for three quarters you were right there. And really, if, you know, they just were bigger, faster, stronger at the end of the day and probably better recruits. But what we're seeing is we're seeing like a trend throughout college football, right? Like these teams that are unranked are still really good and are still, you know, a lot of them probably have guys that just things didn't work out. They got in some trouble. They did whatever. And the big school kind of pulled away from them. And then Boise State or South Florida said, no, we'll take you. And so they're really probably some dogs on that South Florida team. And, you know, so close, but so far, you know, Alabama proved who they were at the end of the game. And now they're 2-0.
Also, Ryan Williams for Alabama, 17 years old. And that dude is he looks like a man already. 207 yards this season, 3 touchdowns.
Oh, he's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, he had one of the touchdowns that basically put the game away. I think put it up 2 possessions yesterday. But the only top 5 team to lose yesterday, Notre Dame, falls to the Northern Illinois Huskies. Let's go. That game was awesome. 16-14 final. Northern Illinois wins it. Blocked field goals. Northern Illinois blocked a field goal at the end of the first half, and then they blocked the 62-yard field goal attempt by Notre Dame at the end of the game. But Northern Illinois, I think they were 0-whatever against top 5 teams all time in their school's history. And they come out, and Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame have to explain yet another head-scratching loss at home. They have now lost to Northern Illinois at home. They lost to 3-9 Stanford at home. God, there was one more. There was one more loss that he has on his record at home against a team that they shouldn't have lost to, and it's totally escaping me. But man, Notre Dame, they are this week's Florida State. With this loss, sure. Like it, just bad, bad loss. Kudos to Northern Illinois. And God, I hate Jason Garrett on the call after the game saying Notre Dame is a better team than Northern Illinois.
Stop.
Well, no, they're not. They just played the game. Northern Illinois beat them.
They are better marketed than Northern Illinois. And really the best part of the whole game was afterwards, Northern Illinois coach Tom Hamick just so happy and proud of his team that they were able to pull that out against, you know, let's be honest, man, they make movies about Notre Dame. Rudy is like one of the most famous football movies, if not the most famous football movie. I don't think so, but whatever.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there, but no.
I tried to say it wasn't great. Rudy was garbage. Turkey Sprague, but I got.
Hey, I cried.
The guy Rudy was trash.
Like, really,
the guy himself,
not the movie, the player.
Rudy was trash. Yeah. To quote Family Guy, he got in at the end of the game and got a tackle. No, he was trash.
Yeah, he was trash. But it was great to see that, you know, that emotion. You know, if you're coaching, if you're playing, there's so much time and effort that goes in to, you know, preparing week to week to week. You know, so many sacrifices you have to make. And this was supposed to be a tune-up game for Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, this is the we'll pay you to beat your ass game. Northern Illinois got $1.2 million out of this.
Yeah, and what do you know? Now then they get to celebrate. So, you know, this is huge for this team. Shout out to Northern Illinois. Shout out to Tom Hamick. Either way, man, great job. That was probably the highlight of the weekend.
If you had to ask me who I think the most clueless coach is in all of college football, I would unfortunately put that definition on Marcus Freeman, coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Every time, I mean, from year one, I think he started in 2021. With Notre Dame, there are just moments where he just doesn't look like he either knows what's going on during the game or just doesn't quite know what to do. And, I mean, he's like a military guy, right? He played college football, military dude. Most successful college football coaches are, you know, military guys. But you just wonder if he actually has what it takes after becoming, you know, like from a linebacker's coach to becoming a head coach, because it just seems like they're just short. And in these kinds of games, you see this over and over again. And trying to hear Jason Garrett like say that this team is better. No, there's a reason that they lost this game. And I think
there's a reason that Jason Garrett is no longer coaching, too.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Him and Marcus Freeman talking about great coaching ideas, at least it seems like. Because, yeah, there is no way that Notre Dame is better under Marcus Freeman. Absolutely not.
One thing I've noticed Jason Garrett doing recently when he's on either the pregame shows or he definitely likes to reference on our Cowboys teams in the 90s, it's like, dude, don't. You were a backup. Just stop. All right. Like,
that's the Dan Orlovsky. You know,
yeah, it's,
they love to talk about
when I was carrying Troy Aikman's cream.
Yeah.
It's
doing whoa, what yeah, now? Whoa, yeah. I heard that part. I was like,
wait a second.
What, like foot fungus cream?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not like, okay. not like going to rub it on his feet,
like,
but like,
I got to
go to the medical room and get Troy Aikman his post-game cream.
Okay.
His water bottle.
Please stop saying cream. I beg you.
You see what I'm doing there. Good.
Not good for Marcus Freeman. It was Marshall. He has also lost at home to Marshall. Lost to Marshall, lost to Notre Dame, Stanford at home, and now I lost to Northern Illinois at home. And he said in his press conference, you know, when he was talking about the game, he's like, you know, we've been here before. I'm like, yeah, that's not good.
We're used to losing.
The whole, like, we can respond to this, you know, this is a low point, but we can respond. We've been here before. It's like, yeah, that's not good that you've been here
before.
You're
just reading things off of a checklist that coaches are supposed to say after a tough loss.
Yikes.
Proud of my guys. We fought.
No answers. No answers as to why you weren't able to beat an inferior team.
Yeah. Another top 10 team that struggled yesterday, Penn State against Bowling Green. That was Bowling Green was leading the majority of that one. Penn State dodged a bullet there. The Bowling Green Falcons. Did you know that they were the Falcons?
Is that what they are?
They are the Falcons. They are indeed the Falcons.
Where is Bowling Green?
Bowling Green,
Ohio.
Yes, I think actually, yeah, you might be right on that.
No, I think it's in one of the Midwest states. I think it is Ohio.
Where is Bowling Green? Not Ohio. Kentucky, it says.
Okay, wrong.
Ohio. Wait, hold on. Now I'm getting to Bowling Green, Ohio. Where the hell? I think Jordan might be right. I'm pretty sure it is Ohio. But Penn State barely escapes them 34-27 in that one. So, I mean, you had a couple top 10 teams outside of Oregon struggle against inferior opponents yesterday. So
you got to tell the opponents they're inferior because they don't see it that way. They say that they can go out there and make something happen.
But well, Oregon, I mean, and granted, I think Oregon had the misfortune of being the only game on at that time. I mean, top 10 teams across the board struggled yesterday with teams that they were supposed to beat, you know, quote unquote, handily. I would say out of the South Florida's, Bowling Green, Northern Illinois, and Boise State's, out of those four teams, Boise State is probably the toughest out of all of them as far as most difficult. I mean, Boise State got a couple top 25 votes for this week, so they just missed out on a
well
top
you have 20. The number one running back in the country, like, it's going to change the perception of your team for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, very fun college football Saturday. There were a lot of games I was watching yesterday. The Arkansas-Oklahoma State game, that game was drunk. Kansas State barely escaped Tulane. LSU had to turn it on late against Nicholls State. They were only up 23-21 in the second half at one point. Illinois upsetting Kansas. The Jayhawks go down to their their adjacent state rival there, the Fighting Illini. Oregon will play Illinois on October 26th. Keep note of that at Autzen. Arizona struggled against Northern Arizona. Iowa State, they take care of Iowa in the El Asico, as it's being called now, between those two teams.
The what?
El Asico instead of the El Clasico. El Asico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
And then Syracuse, they beat Georgia Tech.
Asico.
They beat Georgia Tech 31-28. Kyle McCord, former Ohio State quarterback, now the starter at Syracuse. He had himself a hell of a game there. But fun college football Saturday. As far as next week goes, week three, what matchups do we got there? Arizona, Kansas State. That is a Friday night game, top 25 matchup there. Alabama at Wisconsin at Camp Randall. That will be intriguing. Hopefully that is a good game and a close game there. Also just scrolling through some other matchups. Notre Dame at Purdue. Purdue over the years has had a history of upsetting top 25 teams. I would love to see a 1-2 Notre Dame team going into
that would be awesome.
Week four, losing to Northern Illinois and then Purdue. Let's see some other matchups. Top 25. You get in-state rivalry of Utah State. Outside of those first couple of games, I mean, top 25, a little bit to be desired, but still.
Hey, man.
Football season.
My UNLV Rebels, you know.
Oh.
Get a chance to take on number 19 Kansas. UNLV 2-0. This is our chance to move into the top 25 with the 3-0 start. Let's go. I'll take it.
Go Rebs.
Go Rebs.
All right, last segment here. We'll wrap up the show next. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right. Football? We've got NFL football happening right in front of our very own eyes. Caleb Williams, 5 for 8, 25 yards to start.
Woo!
So, wait. So we're not going to mention Colorado?
5 of 9. We can. I was going to preview these NFL games that we have in the 1 o'clock slate, but we can give Colorado-Nebraska a quick... damn it. Vikings, quit scoring. I took the under.
Sam Darnold doing well. He's got Jay Jeff, shocking.
For now. And that's just who scored for the Vikings. They are now up 13-3 pending extra points. Yeah, man, Nebraska kicked the living hell out of Colorado yesterday. 28-10 is not indicative of how that game went. I watched about 2.5 quarters of that game. Definitely the first half. And it felt like that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. It was the Nebraska playing Colorado at home and Ducks playing Colorado at home. Like, that's how it felt watching that game. And knowing earlier in the week, I knew that this game was going to happen week two, but then I was like, wait, where's this game at? And it was like, oh, it's in Nebraska. And I'm like, that place is going to be absolutely insane. And it was. That was probably the best environment in college football yesterday. I mean, Nebraska and Colorado is a storied rivalry. Been played since 1890. I don't know if you
knew
that.
I didn't know that.
My son heard that. He's like, that's not possible. I'm like, dude, I wouldn't. I'd believe it. I mean, like, I don't think they would lie about that. But also, they've been playing this game for a long ass time. A
couple of guys in gross pants and jerseys, you know, kind of just staggering out to the field in the 1890s. Not as much pomp and circumstance, but it happened.
Yes, yes. Playing in a literal cornfield. They couldn't see each other.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Nebraska worked them all game long. Second half was annoying because it turned into a flag fest by the refs, apparently, just throwing flags for both Nebraska and Colorado. Shedeur Sanders got hit late in the game and went to the locker room with about 2 minutes left to go.
Game was over. His feelings were hurt more than anything.
Yeah. It was not a good look, whether it was an injury or not, but doing the whole duck out before the game ends, a LeBron move.
Say that again?
Shedeur Sanders, he got hit late in the game, and then they took him back to the locker room with two and a half minutes left in the game. And so when the teams met at the field, you know, after the game to shake hands, Shedeur Sanders was not out there.
Thank you.
Which is not a good look. And he also asked in his press game conference, how many times did Raiola get touched, you know, in the, like, basically throwing his offensive line under the bus?
Well, so come on, Shedeur. Maybe learn how to scramble and work outside the pocket a little bit if you know that's what you've got to deal with, bud.
Now, granted, he doesn't really have a whole lot of time to scramble outside of the pocket. I don't know if you saw. I mean, Nebraska was on that ass.
Yeah, they were coming for him.
You're not wrong.
That was ridiculous. So good for Nebraska. They start off 2-0 first time since 2016. And Colorado, I believe, in-state rivalry game next week against Colorado State, which that game was a banger last year. Hopefully get another one of those.
Colorado State, you know, kind of has Colorado's number, so we'll see.
Shouldn't Shedeur be throwing his dad under the bus? He's the one that decided on these O-linemen, right?
It's quite possible.
Right?
It's quite possible. 1 o'clock games, Raiders, Chargers, Commanders, Bucks, Cowboys, Browns, and then what you're going to hear the pregame start here right after us in a few minutes, Broncos at Seahawks, which that ran away with the 10 of the Fan poll question as far as what people are most excited to see. It's Bo Nix versus the Seahawks. His first start in the NFL going up against the Seahawks in Seattle. That will be a very fun game to watch.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'll have to be switching back and forth between the Browns and Cowboys game to watch that. I just realized this earlier this week, too, is that my girlfriend, she has a wine membership somewhere in like Dayton, Lafayette area.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she booked us for 3:30.
Ugh.
Yeah, so...
So sorry.
Do you have all the apps on your phone?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got YouTube TV,
good.
I mean, yeah. No, it's definitely, someone asked me earlier this week, they're like, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, you know, football, and just now realizing that I have to go wine tasting at 3:30 on Sunday.
Shout out to wifey, because she knew today that I'm not doing anything that's not required. It's not based on football.
Well, and I'll, you know, my girlfriend was the last two Saturdays It has been nothing but football. Last Saturday, she was at my house. I did nothing but watch football. Yesterday, I was at my house, did nothing but watch football, then came to her house and watched football. So, you know, I'll go get some bubbles, you know. But I will have my phone on, and I'm sure I'll get some looks from the high society folks that are there because of my Neanderthal football behavior.
And it's always cool when that one other Neanderthal comes over to you. He's like, oh, you got to score of the game?
Oh, dude, what are you watching?
Yeah.
I hope I get a little crowd around me.
Yeah, and then we
– you guys have a TV I can cast to with this, please?
And all the husbands and boyfriends are over in, you know – at the table or at the bar watching the game on somebody's phone.
Yeah.
It's a bonding experience.
I hope ahead of time. Now, it's not going to happen, but I hope that the winery has a TV ready to go with Red Zone on it.
Oh, yeah. Probably not. But, you know, one can dream. A boy can dream.
I'll have to send in the suggestion, put that in the suggestion box for them going forward. Like, if you guys could have Red Zone going on Sundays going forward, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed this football Sunday. I hope you're enjoying the football season being underway. I mean, like, we made it. This is just – I had a few moments yesterday where I'm like, dude, yes. Like, this is just – football is so great. It is so awesome.
It's awesome. I can't take my eyes off it.
I know. It is enthralling.
Is that a touchdown?
Just right as Rashad says that, the Patriots give up a touchdown.
Jeez, man.
Year. Go Cowboys, but they will disappoint me by season's end, as it usually goes. I hope all of you have a great Sunday out there where you don't have to wine taste and you can just sit on your couch all day. Jordan Schultz, appreciate you as always.
Love you all. Love you guys.
Rashad Taylor, appreciate you. Enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for listening to Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.